Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Unknown Mining Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Hanchey. I'm happy to be joined today by James Anderson, who's the chairman and CEO of Guanajuato Silver. He's been in the financial industry for a long time and been in mining more specifically since 2012. James, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much, Aaron. Nice to be here. Nice to meet you.
No, absolutely glad to have you on. As you might know, the point of this podcast, the Unknown Mining Podcast, is to, for me, relatively young geology student, to learn things about the mining industry that I don't know, that they don't teach in school, and that I can only get from getting the experience and talking to mining executives and mining professionals. So James, with that, I'll just go ahead and ask you, what is something that me as a geology student interested in mining may not know about the industry?
Well, we were just talking about this before before we turned the go button on, but I think some of the big differences today that you might not know are the differences in the industry where it comes to economic geology and plain old geology. I can tell you that investors are interested in geology, but they need to be able to see a tactile reason to put their hard-earned money at work in these companies. And so when we have PhD theses written on the backs of hard-earned money that's invested in these companies trying to make an economic discovery, I think that we do ourselves as an industry a disservice.
So you're saying financial advisors, investors, they're not in it just to look at pretty rocks?
Well, I think that financial advisors are generally, that they may not know the difference. Every geologist that looks the same to a financial investor and to neophyte investors in the penny mines companies and in the bigger mines companies for that matter, it all looks very much the same. And you're supposed to come, I know you're a geology student, from their perspective, you're supposed to come fully formed out of the university as a geologist who knows where all the metals are. And of course, we know that to be patently incorrect.
Hey, give me a little bit of credit here. But in reality, no, that's a good point. How do we turn what you might call like regular geology or regular geologist into an economic geologist? What's driving that value when it comes to finding deposits? And is it all about finding deposits?
Well, I think in the industry, in terms of publicly traded companies where we have money, I mean, there are examples of bigger companies who maybe do, larger regional exploration, that has very long-term thinking to it. I think that in a smaller company, we have to be very careful about that. Everybody knows that most of the exploration that's done by junior exploration companies, most of that ends in failure. It ends in something that is not a commercial deposit. I think that some of the people at those companies and some of the geologists would say, well, but it was a technical success because we found this and that. And I think that the investing public would look at it and go, well, call it what you will, it's still a failure. If I can delve into that just a little bit more, Aaron, I'm old enough to remember when we had a higher success rate. I'm old enough to remember when a dollar speculated in a speculative exploration program had a much better chance of real life financial success than it does today. And there's a number of different reasons for that. But I always sort of hearken back to a speech that Pierre Lassonde did a few years ago at the Denver Gold Show, when he was asked, to an intelligent mining audience, these very same questions. And he pointed out that in the 1980s, that we could take a major discovery and have it drilled off and in production in 4 years' time. Now, today, this looks more like 14 years. Now, that was the number of years that Mr. Lassonde said in the speech, but I would suggest that Mr. Lassonde was even being a little more gentle than the reality is too, because I think that the numbers that I've seen recently are 18 years. Now, if you do a discounted cash flow model back on the best asset in the world and go back 18 years, what's it worth today? Well, the answer is not very much. And so then, therefore, 20 or 30 years ago, when you had a significant discovery, you would have a sharp increase in share price. And that was a reward for the very risky speculation that the investors were doing. Today, oftentimes, really good drill results are met with a little bit of a wobble in the share price going higher, but then the reality quickly settles into the stock market and to investors. Well, okay, so that's great. Those are good results. What does that mean? Where's the next jag of money coming from? Where's the next bunch of results going to come from? If we have continued success, how long will it take for that deposit to actually be able to spit out some sort of good economic reality, good economic situation for the investor? And so often today, that little bit of a run up in anticipation of further good drill results leads the stock price to come right back down to where it started from.
Yeah, I see this a lot in the, especially in the stock price for junior companies, where you see a peak when there's like a nice news release, followed by a quick rapid drop, I guess, as the investing market realizes, well, we're still up to 18 years away from actual production, which I guess, speaking of that, would actually be maybe the thing that's turning regular geology, a technical success, something that makes a geologist smile, into something that makes an investor smile, is that word production. So do you want to talk about this as maybe production's the end goal of any exploration project, theoretically? Yes, it's nice to know where the metals are, but even more so, we need to produce them and extract them. Do you want to talk about how production being the end goal actually drives investment then and can fund these additional exploration projects?
I think that the metals markets and the speculative markets are changing slowly, but I think that they're changing to appreciate this new, very, very long-term reality that's associated with that. With regards to North American standards, you know, we still have this generative understanding of, well, let's spend a little bit of money. We'll do some base level exploration and then go off and drill some holes. And if we find it, then the end game, the ultimate end game, is to sell that to an actual mining company, right? I think that in other parts of the world, in Latin America, and I think in Mexico, Mexican geological teams have, you know, not expat geological teams working in Mexico, but Mexican geological teams have for many years been required to explore for stuff that can be processed and turned into money quickly. And Guanajuato Silver is very much of that mindset. 100% of our team in central Mexico are Mexican. And so it does change the mindset a little bit, rather than having, you know, the more Western, more North American, more Australian view of, well, let's explore, you know, to find something big and then someone else will mine it. In Mexico, and I'm talking about, you know, with Peñoles or Grupo Mexico or Fresnillo with the real Mexican mining companies, those two things are related. Right? They don't compartmentalize the way that we do.
Yeah. Do you think it's important then that they're related? And what do you think the issues are in the sort of North American viewpoint of this disassociation? Do you think that's a problem? Do you think there's a benefit to linking exploration to exploitation?
I think that for most of the 21st century, the mining industry has been serial capital destroyers for investors. And I think that the majority of generalists look at the mining industry, roll their eyes, shrug their shoulders, and say, well, not for me. You know, you guys serially over and over destroy capital. Now, I think for a number of years in the precious metals mining business, we sort of blamed low metals prices. But I don't think that that's entirely the case. I think that return on capital, not return of capital, return on capital in our industry has been neglected. And so do I think that it's important to dovetail those things? Absolutely, 100%. Otherwise, how can we look our investors in the eyes and say, you know, oh, well, hey, better luck next time, right? You know, drilled some holes, you know, I know I told you it was going to be wonderful, but, you know, drilled some holes, didn't work out. I think that we absolutely have to have an economic reality built into it. And it does, you know, go right back to, though, this 4 year to 18 year change that the industry's had over the last 40 years, let's say, very difficult to be able to find something that is so important, so big, that the boost in price will be able to transcend that long, long lead time of finance and permits, you know, all the various permitting, and then bring the thing into commercial production.
Yeah, no, thanks, James. That's actually a really good point. So we just mentioned how there's a disassociation between exploration and production when it comes to the North American mining market, particularly with the juniors, how a lot of the junior exploration projects fail, they return nothing for their investors. So you're the CEO of a junior mining company. How do you navigate this gap, if you want to call it that?
Well, I think the 21st century solution to that, really, you know, if you can pull it off, you need a team, you need a project that answers to this. People always say that cash is king, but I would suggest that cash flow in the mining business is king. You know, where's that additional money? We want to grow the business. We want to grow the business exponentially at the end of a drill bit, but where does the money come from for that? And Guanajuato Silver, I think, you know, answers that, at least from my perspective, you know, in what I want to see in a small growing company. We take all of the money that we make from silver and gold sales and put it back into the business. We've got three drill rigs turning right now, but I don't have to ask investors for new money to keep those drill rigs turning. That's part of our business model, where we will continue to expand resources into the future on an ongoing basis.
So basically, through production at your mines in Guanajuato, Mexico, you can pay the geologists, you can pay for the drilling, you can expand the project without going to investment shows and conferences and asking for money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I'm not dissing the other side of the business that does that. I'm just suggesting that in the 21st century, with these long, long lead times between discovery and production, between discovery and potential cash flow, that the economics just don't work on that side of the business like they used to. So I think that we need in the mining business early cash flow or a possibility of early cash flow to really be able to augment the risks that are involved in the strictly exploration business.
Yeah, and I guess for me as a geologist, I am looking for somebody to pay my bills, but I am also looking for a company that is going to provide me with money for drilling, because I need to get my face on the rocks, and those rocks are up to hundreds of meters below the surface. So like, this is actually quite important for young geologists or anyone looking to get into the mining business to look for projects that are producing cash flow early. I guess, just from my perspective, one way to do this is to look at closed mines or historical producers as potential targets. What do you think the value is in that, and getting these mine sites that were maybe recently producing back to production as a way of funding the project?
Yeah, that's what we've done at Guanajuato Silver. But I think that, you know, a little bit more broadly speaking, smart people have been saying for a long, long time that if you want to find a mine, you know, go and look within the shadow of the headframe. I was born in Timmins, Ontario, which is a fabulous storied mining camp in Northern Ontario, Canada. If you want to find a big gold mine, well, that's a place to go and look. I think that looking back at past producers, I think that in many, many instances, it's a better place not only to explore and develop ore bodies, but it's also potentially a better place to be able to have that much more speedy cash flow that I'm referring to, because, you know, not only could some of the infrastructure still be there for mining, some of the underground infrastructure, if it's an underground mine, but also the permitting issues. So in most jurisdictions, if you've got disturbed land, if you've got disturbed land that was part of an old mine, then that is usually much more rapidly approved into production than something that's brand new, than something that's more greenfields.
Yeah, that's a good point too. No, I appreciate your insight on this. I'm a guy, if you say cash flow is king in mining, I'm a geologist, and that means I need cash flow in a sense, right?
Yeah, and I mean, in a sense, I mean that, you know, that cash flow comes, that cash for expiration comes from somewhere. And, you know, it can either come from the cash generating business of the company, or it must necessarily come from additional investors and their hard-earned money. So I think the those of us in the mining business can quickly look past that, but I think that if we're doing our investors a service, we should take a moment, pause, look in the mirror, and remember that a lot of that money comes from other people's money.
Yeah. Thank you so much, James. I won't keep you too much longer here today. I just want to say thanks for your time and for helping the listeners and myself for the podcast kind of make the tie between what makes economic geology actually economic.
Thanks very much, Aaron. Thanks for the opportunity. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. So everybody, that's been another episode of the Unknown Mining Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. If you like the podcast, please rate and review us. And until next time, keep on exploring the unknown.